Welcome to Communion Sunday, 5 p.m.
Yeah.
With TK the Kid, cousins.
What's up? What's up?
And Retta.
What's up? What's happening?
We have one of our cousins still out this week, Ayana, so she has some things going on, so everybody keep her in your prayers.
That's right.
I know she's with us in spirit, but
that's right.
We're going to do this thing, just the three of us, and get it popping. So first and foremost, starting off with our lovely affirmation by the lovely E-Day.
Oh, thank you, yeah, cousin. You know,
I'm just
so
feeling
nice.
So happy today. Everybody yeah. Getting my good vibes.
Yes. All right. So here we are.
No problem.
All right. So we'll start.
Can you hear me? Am I all right? Okay. I'm sorry.
It's that voice.
It is the voice. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Body. Here we go. Yeah. Somebody had a lovely time somewhere.
A lovely right. Day.
It's a lovely day. All right, I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here.
I am here, and I am whole.
Yes.
Y'all know I love that part.
Yeah, I know you do.
I am here, and I am whole. Every time I hear myself say that, it makes me feel like I'm here.
And whole.
And whole.
Speak those things.
Facts.
Yeah, even if they aren't.
Exactly.
As though.
They are.
They are. You're right. So yeah. Then you can kind of deposit that.
Even though I came in a crazy traffic, I'm here and I'm whole. Yeah.
That traffic really burning you up.
Yeah, it did. But I'm here and whole, so.
Yeah, I mean.
But it was, I guess because it's been spring break and I ain't been in my car. I've been relaxing all week. And then I had a wonderful spring break. But, like, then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in the car with all these cars. Like, that just took me back to, like, it's work tomorrow.
I feel like it took me to pre-COVID. It was looking real pre-COVID out there. It was looking pre-COVID.
And it was giving me a snapshot of, like, okay, you're back tomorrow. Uh-huh. You're like, back at work tomorrow.
But do you experience the traffic like that on a day-to-day anyway?
I don't, but I just feel like it's a Sunday, a lot of cars on the road. It's giving me, my break is over. Okay. That's what I was feeling.
Well, your break is over.
Yeah.
But aside from that, so what did you do during spring break? Of course, I always ask how the week went. So
how
did the week go?
So my week was full of taking care of Ebony.
Ooh.
I got a pedicure, manicure.
Oh,
I got my car. I got my oil change. Mm-hmm. I got a tooth.
People do that.
Yeah. I got my tooth looked at. Like, I walked. Even when it was chilly, I was still walking. You know, but I told my trainer, I was like, look, I'm on spring break, so I might not make the 10,000 steps this week because I'm not out. Yeah. I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
So I really just took it easy and just did what I wanted to do. I got up when I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I had my coffee at 9 instead of 7. Mm-hmm. Like, it just was, I was just chilling.
And how'd you feel all week?
I felt relaxed and calm and collected, and just I felt like taking the break and the rest is really I just feel like I was pouring into myself even while doing nothing.
Right.
So
sometimes doing nothing is doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're always on the go.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to take that time and just be as still as you can be when you can be still, because you know that there's going to be a lot of times where you can't be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So take an opportunity to be still when you can. It's cool. So.
Yeah, it was great.
And then all of a sudden you walk outside and immediate anxiety back to getting back to it, you know what
right.
There's never enough time really, but I'm glad you enjoyed your weekend.
My week was good. It was busy. You know, work lately is just busy, a lot of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was good though. My energy changed towards my, I don't want to say barriers, I guess, at my job.
Okay.
What I considered barriers or complaints at one point.
Right.
You know, I'm just looking at it differently, you know, and...
Change the mindset.
Are you looking at it differently because it's different, or are you looking at it differently to get through it?
To get through it and to get to the next level or, if, you know, where I'm supposed to be within, you know, the company work-wise. I just had to rearrange.
Okay. Assess and adjust.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call it. Assess and adjust.
The mindset. Mm-hmm. Still, you know, handle my business, took care of my folks. And at the end of the week, everything got accomplished. So I felt good about it.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Awesome.
Did the traffic stress you out?
Nah, I don't have that problem. I go from the bed to the desk.
No, I'm talking about coming here.
I'm coming here. It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't that bad for you?
I was on Route 1. It was pretty cool coming up.
All right. Well, my week was pretty chill, I think. I don't really remember anything before Friday at this point. I think I blocked out Monday, Monday through Thursday at this point. I think Friday took the cake. Saturday took it again. And then here we are Sunday. But, of course, you know me, guys. Keep coming in here. It was flights and feelings. Now it's car rides and haven't quite got the other word.
Haven't got the C yet.
The feelings, the feelings are still there. the feelings are still there, but had a great weekend. Hence the voice. Did a lot of laughing, talking, singing, and joking. And so I sound like this, but I don't feel like this, and that's what's important. So that's my week. So let's get into it. So I decided right before I came here, kind of what I wanted to talk about, just because from some of the experiences that I had over the weekend, just kind of talk around two things that I feel like kind of equate to one thing, but with it being Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, guys, just so you know, because it's Resurrection Sunday and he rose, we are drinking that fine rosé in the building. Just so that we can be honoring the rising of the riser when he rose. So, rosé glass up to y'all. If y'all got rosé at the house, pour you some. And do this thing with us at communion. So you're going to see me take my drink now. All right. But, so, with it being Resurrection Sunday, I kind of want to talk about some...
Thank you.
Kind of around the idea of two things.
High flash.
Sorry. Kind of resurrecting oneself. And then a little bit of reconciliation. Okay. A little bit of reconciliation. So the idea of resurrecting oneself, because like I always say, you know, communion, I didn't start off with this. People that haven't watched it before, communion basically, you know, is us cousins coming together to break bread and barriers through the bond and the blood. As a play on, obviously, the word communion. And I know that at least when I used to go to the church I went to, I had some tea, Erica, by the way. Sorry, people in the comments telling me what I need. I had tea. I will continue to drink it. I will get back. I sound better than I sounded yesterday, actually. But anyway, do this in remembrance of Christ. That's the, you know, what you hear when you're at church during communion. And this show really is about... remembering the self, yourself, you know what I'm saying, and self-love and awareness and stuff like that. So I want to talk about the resurrecting of self. So Ebony already is instantly excited. We haven't even talked about this already, and yet she just has, I feel like she's about to pull out her notebook.
Right, I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
So Ebony, I don't even have a question at this point. I just want to hear what you got to say, and maybe I'll formulate a question.
Yeah, so... Today, I went to church, we had it in the parking lot, and it was awesome.
Awesome.
My pastor said something so profound today.
Okay.
And it goes with your thing of resurrecting yourself.
Okay.
And he said, and Christ is an example, he said that when we... get up and resurrect ourselves, there will be places in your life where things are empty.
Uh-huh.
Just like the tomb.
I was going to say, just like the tomb.
Okay? Just like the tomb. To rise, there got to be some things that are left empty.
That go empty.
And you got to be okay with that.
Got to be okay with that.
And I was like,
oh my God.
Like, that was so profound to me. Because when we talk about resurrecting ourselves and getting to where we need to be, we never talk about the areas where nothing is there.
Right.
Where it's empty.
Yeah.
God, Jesus resurrected. I mean, He rose, but yet there is an empty tomb from where he used to be.
Right.
So there are some places in our lives that are empty.
Right.
Because we're not there no more.
Right, right, right.
That's right.
And I just thought that that was so deep because we don't talk about the empty part of us when going and rising to a place where we need to be.
Yeah.
So that's why I was over here like, oh. Yeah. So that was just deep to me.
Yeah, and I can...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Finish.
No, because I just feel like when we talk about rising and getting where we need to be, we never speak of the things that are left with nothing there.
Yeah, and that, the things, people, places, you know, there's a lot of things that, to your point, get left behind. But what were you going to say?
No, I was just, what you said was, and you have to be okay with that, part of it, like... Mm-hmm. The things you leave behind or that empty space, because oftentimes it pulls at you. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that place was or thing was, you know, when you're rising, even in your rising and going to the next level, there's moments where whatever it is or was is tugging or it's pulling, like where you left behind the energy or whatever or the memories or, you know, where you have gone to is a new place.
Right.
And you may feel, you know, maybe some anxieties or some, you know, you want to go to what was familiar.
Right.
So that old place.
Yeah. It's actually some people that's probably sitting in tombs.
Yeah, like you got to be okay with
the stone
that.
Rolled away, but they sitting in the tomb because of familiarity.
Exactly.
And comfort. You know what I'm saying?
The new place wasn't, you know.
And they haven't believed in their own resurrection.
Right.
And when we look at Christ, Christ believed in his own resurrection. He knew that he was going to rise.
Right.
People were coming to look for like a dead body.
Right.
So there are some people in our lives that don't want to see us rise. So we got to believe in our own resurrection on our own, for real.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's honestly, I mean, that's the part that, you know, obviously for those that believe that, that made it so. It was the commitment to the process and understanding what was happening. You know, that was the charge on his life. That was the purpose by design, right? So from conception, you know what I'm saying? So him accepting that charge is what I feel like allowed for him to do that. But again, it was a painful experience to get there. It was not easy.
No,
you know what I'm saying? It was a challenge. He had to go through. Hurt, pain, anguish, die, you know, shedding of some old things, like you guys said, but then accepting that charge and, to your point, believing in the fact that it's possible. I feel like that's what makes it possible because, truth be told, could he have been in the tomb still? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's the part that sometimes people don't consider when they're reading these stories or any other stories. How many other ways it could have been? We talk about the ways that it was. We talk about the way that it is. But how many other ways that it could have been had a different decision been, had he not believed in the ability or had he not followed the plan? You know what I'm saying? The tomb may have been empty from gate. He may have never ended up in the tomb to begin with. You know what I'm saying? But that would have changed the entire narrative around the story.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, but I like that, you know, the idea of even considering, because I think that I think that's what, we want to celebrate the resurrection, as we should, right? Because that's the part that, you know, where people get their salvation, okay? But to your point, understanding what had to be gone through, I feel like you can't dismiss that part of the story.
Right.
And you can't dismiss the things that, to your point, you had to elevate above or leave behind or walk away from and never turn back. You know, sometimes you got to walk away from things and never, ever look back in order to ascend that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that the baggage that comes along with staying in places that's familiar and comfortable will keep you dead, almost dead, like in a tomb, even when you're alive. Like I said, I know that there's probably people, I could say probably myself even, where I got out of situations and the stone has rolled away, right? So I have the ability to walk out of this thing. And yet, because of my mindset and how I'm trapped in another reality around what I'm going through, afraid, not feeling like I deserve or believing, to your point, that I can ascend or grow past this or get past this. You know, I'm sitting in a tomb on a dirty floor, on a dirty, dusty floor, in the dark, with the stone rolled away, but not leaving the tomb.
Not getting up.
Exactly. Not getting up and not going. You know what I'm saying? Not honoring that part of the process that would elevate me. So I think that's important. So, but in thinking about that, though, Ebony, and that resonating with you like that, is there anything particularly in your life that you would be willing to share, that you could think back on an experience like that where you could say you had to kind of resurrect yourself, you know, in that way?
Yeah, I would say, like, people that I have come into contact with or people that knew me before, like, I'm not the same person. So it'll be like they will ask me to do something or that I just don't do anymore.
Right.
So really, you're like the women at the, you know, that brought the embalming spices. Right. You came looking for a dead body. Yeah. Right? So you came looking for...
That's a good.
The old Ebony.
I mean,
okay, you came looking for old Ebony, not really believing that I have changed, even when I've said I did.
Right.
So I think that, you know, and I'm not going to really go into, like, specific details.
Of course.
But I just think that people, when you change, when you say that you've changed, and you actually change, I think that people don't really see the actual change.
Right.
And they come to you in the same manner in which they did before.
Yeah.
And then when you tell them that I'm not doing that, and then they say, well, why didn't you tell me? I'm telling you now again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just feel like as a single person, you know, I'm not just dating anybody or you know what I'm saying, like, or just wanting to be like, oh, I need a man, I want a man. I think coming out of that mindset has, like, it's different for me, because I'm like, in the beginning I would be like, okay, I'm just trying to, I want to date, I want to, but right now it's like, like, you can call me, but it's not gonna be the same. You know what I mean? I've changed how I'm looking at this whole situation of being single, so I can just speak on it, like, in a single way.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And I like that. And what I say about that is, you know, when people come back to find you or looking for you in a place where they once found you, I think that's normal. That's what they actually should do. If I know I can, if I know historically I would find Ebony at the Broil on a Friday at 7, I'm going, if I want to find Ebony on Friday at 7, I'm going to go to the Broiler, right? And when I get there, Ebony's not there, then I then have to accept, you know, or try to figure out why you're not there or pull you back to that reality. But that's just what people do. People are going to expect to see you in the places that they've seen you.
Even after you told them, I don't go to the Broiler no more
even,
at 7.
but
they still come.
Right, because even after that, it's their habits. You know what I'm saying? Because they want you, because they still go to the Broil at 7. So since they still go to the Broil at 7,
you used to be.
Right, they want to call you there. Not just to find you there, but so they can enjoy that space, and that's okay. And what's really most important is that you don't allow yourself to be drugged back into that. Because while those people showed up there, you know what I'm saying, while people had questions about whether or not this was or wasn't, the certainty that he had about what his role was and what he had to do, he did that. A lot of times people seek you out and you get drawn back in. The important thing is to be sought out. That's fine. But that's like they say about the weapons forming and not prospering. Just because people looking for me places don't mean that that's where I'm going to go and that's where
they
I belong.
They ain't going
to
find me there.
Yeah, no, that's they can't. Right, but go ahead. You was about to say something.
Oh, no. There's a lot of different things run through my head. But
lay them on us.
No, the first was like, you know, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? You know, that famous line. Mm-hmm. Just oftentimes, like you said, people are looking for what was, and you've gone on to 2-3 different phases down, you know, or higher, whatever, however you want to consider it. And what I feel is like, you know, in your accepting your rising, you know, taking on that responsibility, because I feel like it's a responsibility when you elevate to a higher level,
right?
And understanding what your calling is, or what, you know, I just think we all have assignments,
right?
And when we accept our assignment and like rise from that dead place, and it's just a certain I don't know, it's a certain freeing of oneself. It's a certain, as far as myself, I just, like, when I finally got it, you know, and no longer toying, like you said, like, I was being pulled back to that place, that kind of dead place, you know, trying to elevate to, you know, trying to rise, but whatever, was this tug, it's like a tug of war, and then when I finally released myself from it, and just took on the responsibility, this is, you know, what I'm being called to do, it's just free, and it's a certain, just, I don't want to say bliss, but for
why
me,
why not? If that's what you
know,
feel,
it's kind of like a bliss when you operate in that space of just pure, just spirit and freedom, and you know, trusting the ancestors and God, and you just walk in that, and you know, for me, it's of service. You know, I'm always serving someone, or you know, it's just a good feeling.
Yeah.
And just as far as me coming out of a dead situation and my own resurrection, that's a deep thing for me, because I went through something, you know, in a 7-year relationship that ended up not working out, had the wedding dress, everything, and you know, God showed me some things, and you know, that I failed to, you know, see, or real, you know.
Did you fail to see him? Did you ignore them? Were they there?
I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it.
Okay.
I just did not act upon what I was being told to do, or what I was receiving to do. So whatever. Mm-hmm. Relationship didn't work. I became depressed in a dark place for about 2 years. You know, my children's looking at me like I'm crazy. Mm. But I literally had to pull myself up out of that thing. Yeah. And, I'm like, I got to get it together. This is not the end of the world. But I guess I was so hard on myself for receiving the instruction, what I was to do for my life. And not going with the instruction.
Okay.
You know, I haven't prayed and just meditated, receiving it. This is your path.
Right.
And this brother ain't on your path. But I stuck with, you know, I'm going to try to make it work.
Yeah.
And then it ended up in the end, after the 7 years, it didn't work.
Wow.
You know, and so my place of darkness was kind of deep, because I'm like, I should have known. I'm always on this thing, I should have known better.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel like, you know, with the anointing that you have, or, you know, I don't say anointing, I guess it can be lost. It's like, you should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
So I was depressed for a minute, and I just realized one day, I'm like, you know what? I have so much living to do. I have the assignment on my life to be of service, and I wasn't of service anymore. You know, I wasn't serving anybody, not even my children, not even myself.
Right.
So I just had to, like, I told myself I'm reinventing myself, literally, because I didn't want to go out. I wasn't, you know, getting, you know, done up, or, you know, feeling good about myself. I mean, it looked decent, but, you know, just, I didn't have that energy to just, I don't know, what's the word? I just in a space that I just, was like, it was what it was.
And how'd you get yourself out of that space?
No, I started just reading again, meditating, yoga. My daughter got us into yoga thing, and just started doing things that fed into me.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I like reading books about our ancestors, about science, about the universe, right. just different things. I started pouring into myself, and I said, you know what? I'm going to start buying me some clothes, looking at the fashion. I'm going to start learning how to do makeup. I'm just pouring into myself.
So many things.
Many
it's
things.
Not like one thing.
But
yeah,
I had to,
lots
I just
things.
Had to pull myself out of that dead space.
And that sounds like it's something that is like continual.
Right.
You are
right.
constantly pulling yourself away from a place that we can so easily make it back to if we so allow. But I was going to go back to you, Ebony, about what you were saying. So with you, you know, making a decision like you made, is there anything particular that you had to do to kind of remove yourself from that space or resurrect yourself out of that?
So I think for me, a lot of positive self-talk. I think that is what I've had to do. I've had to tell myself that I am enough. I matter.
Yeah. Can we say that on Resurrection Sunday?
You can say.
Oh, yeah. I am a bad bitch.
Right. I think because how many times do we say, I feel a mess.
Uh-huh.
I'm so tired. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I'm oh, my God. I'm fat.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But I changed that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, toxic positivity is real.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired because I work so hard. Or, you know, no.
All of that.
I had to change all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed how I thought about myself first.
Okay.
And then I changed what I said about myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that helped me a lot. Like, okay, I don't have a boyfriend, but that's okay.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think there was a time where I really was looking for a relationship and really wanted it. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, and I want a date.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about this last
week.
And
we're going to get you a date.
You know, I want a date.
We're going to get you a date, but we're going to get you the right date.
You know, but also I don't want to waste time
Absolutely.
Either. You're like, I'm 46
You're being intentional
years old.
Now.
You know what I mean?
Not just doing it because.
Right. So I'm like, I'm not just going to waste time. So I think to answer your question, I changed how I thought about myself and things I said to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Self-talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think
mm-hmm.
that was or has been the most important
thing
to me.
So Joy said, that's good, Ebony. Change what you think, then change what you say. And I remember back when we were doing the self-love project, I had a quote that said, self-love talk plus self-love actions equals self-love results.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of goes back to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Reinforcing those things.
And then I like
about yourself.
Yeah. Then I started hanging around just like other single women.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of my friends are married, you know, and then it's like, oh God, like I can't really hang with you because you got the husband and kids.
Uh-huh.
Like, what really are we going to talk about? Like, so I just think that I just changed how I thought about everything.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, okay, you have a husband and kids. Amen to you.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's right.
But that's a good point. that seems simple, but changing your environment is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when I originally stopped smoking, right? I could not drink in order to not smoke because those two things went together for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every time I had a drink, I wanted a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for me to keep away from the cigarettes, I couldn't go to the clubs and stuff like that because I knew I would be tempted to have a cigarette while I was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was able to take that first drink and not think of a cigarette that I knew I had like made it out of that. But it took time, and I would have people telling me that, oh, girl, you'll be fine. You could drink. You know, it ain't that serious. You should be able to drink. You don't need the cigarette. You know what I'm saying? We just not going to give you one, whatever it is. But they didn't understand what it took to recondition myself and get myself out of that mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was certain places I couldn't go. It was certain people I couldn't be around because of that in order for me to get to that place. So that was definitely one of the ways where I had to change my environment in order to make sense of a change that I was making in my life overall. But as far as resurrecting myself, I mean, I've had many instances, like that, but just on the on the talk of self-love and going back to kind of what Ebony said, it was really around the words that I chose, not just about myself, but also about the situations that I was in. Mm-hmm. I had to actually be honest about what I was experiencing mm-hmm. in order to make sense of a need for change. Because you could tell yourself all day, well, I, you know, could have told myself all day long that I was this or I was that. But if I was lying to myself about what I was experiencing with the people that were around me, mm-hmm. Then ultimately that would have just kept me in the hole. So I really had to start saying, like, you know, relationships that you're in where you're telling yourself lies about what that relationship looks like and hiding behind, you know, images and stuff like that, like really being honest and sitting and looking that thing in the face, looking in the mirror of it and saying, but I'm not happy though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you get so used to telling a story around a relationship of being happy or being meant to be or being this or being, like, you've been saying it so long that now you just, it's like saying I love you to a person that you know you probably don't. You know what I'm saying? But you're just so used to saying, when that thing is gone, you're just so used to saying it that you keep on saying it, even though maybe your feelings have changed. So once I started to really identify the situations around me that weren't feeding me and making me whole, and I was, you know, my whole thing was, I'm not going to do anything that doesn't make me feel good. So it started off with me saying that. When I started to say that, now I'm taking inventory of every single thing that I'm doing. If I'm with a person, we could be out to eat, or it could be, you know, just hanging in the house. Immediately, I'm surveying the situation, mm-hmm. and anything about that that doesn't make me feel good, mm-hmm. now I'm analyzing it and reevaluating, do I belong here? You know what I'm saying? Should I continue to move on with this person and move forward with this person? And really sitting and having those conversations with myself on a day-to-day basis, it was exhausting. You know what I mean? Very overwhelming at times, but it was me really, like, becoming honest with myself mm-hmm. about what was going on around me that helped me to take on that, you know, positive self-talk that turned into change inevitably, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Which ended up being the resurrecting of self. So, so on another note, this weekend, you know, we were out of town, and I got to see some people that I don't normally see all the time. And it got me thinking about reconciliation of relationships. And not just relationships like, you know, romantic relationships. I just mean, like, in general. Like, when you have something going on between you and someone that maybe you care about, or someone you have cared about, and there's a wedge or something in the way, How do you guys navigate through managing those kind of situations when you actually want it to be another way and it's not? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, you got situations with people and you're just good with how it is. Doesn't matter. You don't even want it to be different. Right. It is what it is. I'm good with that. Right. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you end up in situations where the circumstance may have called for it. Could be misunderstandings, you know, friendships mm-hmm. and stuff like that that you wanted to have or maintain, but, you know, other shit got in the way. Like, how have you approached reconciling situations? Like, or how do you consider you could?
Right. Wow.
Wow, that one hit you. I can tell.
No, that's a pretty loaded little one. I guess the first thing is just to be honest with yourself and the person, the other person. Hopefully, you know, if you are able to dialogue uh-huh. still, just really talk that thing out. I just think communication is key, whatever any situation, but like you said, reconciliation. If that person meant anything to you, mm-hmm. Then friendship, if it's worth it, then I think you should talk it out, communicate, and see if, you know, at least you can get to a place of understanding. Mm-hmm. just if the person, if you're genuine, if they genuinely care about you, then, you know, they'll meet you in that space. And, you know, as far as the friendship, it may not ever be the same, but at least you'll have
And when you say that, is your mind going to something that maybe you've done? Or it's a situation where someone else has done it? Because I feel like how you approach it might be different depending on who the culprit is. Right. Like, if you are the oppressor, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're the one at fault, would you approach it the same way if the other person was the one that was at fault around how everything is?
To be honest, if the other person was at fault, I mean, I would still try to communicate. I like to get... I don't want to say get to the bottom of things, but just talk things out and find out what the root, you know, what's the root of this whole thing, you know, like as far, whatever the situation is, disagreement or just, you know, tensions, whatever. Just talk it out and get to the bottom of it, whether it was my fault or their fault. I still would just try to communicate, and I would handle it the same way.
Same way. What about you, E? I feel like you ain't like this question.
No. No, I just was over here thinking. So there are some friendships and stuff that I don't care to reconcile
and
with.
And restore. And that's fair.
And not... saying that they did not matter to me and they didn't mean anything to me, but I really don't have nothing to say.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I want the best for you.
Right.
Because there was a time when we were friends. There was a time when we were tight.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like there's some relationships, friendships that just don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Time, different perspectives, right. and just not even really wanting to do that. Like, right. like not even really having the energy to do anything. Yeah. So I just feel like reconciliation can look differently
to different people. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I feel like it can look like, oh, we've sat down, we've talked about whatever was the problem, and then it's done. Or it can also look like, okay, when I see you, I'm friendly and
right.
we speak right. and that's it. I feel like that is, because there are many times when you see somebody that you used to rock with and then you don't rock with them, and it's like you don't see them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like reconciliation can look like I've sat down and I've talked to you and we've hashed out whatever. Yeah. And then other times it can be, I see you and I speak.
Right.
And you speak back and that's it.
So what about at a time where it is something that you would like to reconcile? What's your approach to that? When you feel like there is something that is a barrier or wedge between you and someone that you do care about, and you feel like you need to reconcile, how do you approach that?
So I feel like I haven't had a desire
to
reconcile with people.
Okay, fair enough.
I gotta be honest.
Hey, no, and that's
what they mean about me. No. I need to shadow work that. I don't care.
Hey, it's energy.
Baby, what does that mean?
Baby, listen.
But what does that mean? I'm being real. Like, I don't.
Maybe it there is.
There are a couple of friendships that.
Maybe it takes so long for you to get there with people that by the time that you do, you to your point, you don't have energy to spend that around. And maybe the people that really know you and really care about you and stuff like that understand who you are, and you don't have those kind of.
I don't
fall out and shit with people.
Right. And when so I do, it'd be like, oh my God, like really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it's not that deep. It's just, you know, you guys, maybe it doesn't take like real in-depth reconciliation, because even if you did have a close friend over. We got a lot of cousins.
Or
and
does
shit.
That say I don't care about my friends? Like I'm just sitting there thinking, like, what does that mean?
Hey, I want you to unpack that.
What does that mean? Because that for real, because there are, I don't want to reconcile with people.
And you don't have to.
Sometimes it's hard. It takes a lot of work, I think.
Like, I don't want to sit down and be like, okay, so this is what happened, and we not talking because, and
why are you saying it like that? I feel like you're saying that sounds stupid. The way you...
I think it does.
The way you say it.
It does. It sounds dumb.
But that takes a lot of energy.
It does.
I don't really be feeling I want to exert that kind of energy.
So it's funny that you're saying that because
I know I like to bring this type of vibe to the discussion.
But honestly, I be like that with people. That's like honest. I don't be caring.
That's not good.
But then I get to a space where I'm sitting in a scenario, and then I'm like, but do it gotta be like that, you know? I started to run it in my head, and, you know, just, I think what I've learned is that now, I was actually just talking about this earlier, now that I understand my own boundaries, and now that I operate more fully in my own truth and just being upfront with my conversations in the moment, when something happens to me, I could just call it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or if somebody trying to lunch me out, I'm addressing it. Like, a lot of things that I used to deal with, I would just not want to be confrontational. So I would say nothing, and then I would just go on my separate way. Yeah. So we haven't dealt with it at all. And before you know it, we just don't talk anymore. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just dealing with it. So now that I understand that about myself, now I feel like I'm in a position where I want to extend a certain level of grace, because I realized that maybe it could have been handled differently had I been in a different position personally around how I dealt with confrontation and conflict resolution. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you just disappear from people, you know what I'm saying? You're not dealing with the problem.
Right.
You're not even dealing with yourself around the problem. You're just...
Maybe I am.
No, I'm talking about me. Me specifically. I'm talking about me specifically. When a person do some shit to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're done. You know what I'm saying? You're done.
You're done. So I'm dealing with the problem. You're done. Leave me alone. You're the problem.
You're the problem, and you're done. Stick a fork. Goodbye. Absolutely. But now, you know, grace and compassion is and empathy. I try to operate inside of that a little bit more. You know, evaluating things a lot more. So I'm like, okay, realistically, did I have moments with this person that I enjoyed? Yeah. Is there a way for me to still enjoy them the way that they are, understanding how they are, and then operate in that model of self-love, being loving them unconditionally, but within boundaries, right? Yeah. So now, can I hang out with you?
No.
And have lunch?
I feel like how I feel, it's like a divorce. We divorced.
So I used to rock with you, and now I don't. But I do think though, it does matter what that thing is that creates that. You know what I'm saying? The circumstances around how you got there. There are people like now, I have people now, today, that they are on the done list. They can't come back. I hear it on the radio today.
But you don't want nothing bad to happen to that
person. Absolutely not. I want nothing but good, beauty, awesome sauce.
And I feel like that is compassion. Because I could be like, I wish the you know.
Yeah, nobody's saying that you're like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes that's Ebony. Best.
But some people do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But those people not here on the station today.
No, we not.
Maybe they're our listeners. But maybe that's not us.
No,
we're
that's not
operating
us.
Like that. No. But I do have people who... I'm done with them.
That's it.
They can't come back. Mm-hmm. There's no paths for it. There's no avenues. Mm-hmm. None of that. You're done. Walk past you in the grocery store, act like you're not there, kind of done. Mm-hmm. It ain't even the cordial kind that you're talking about because some people just don't deserve access to you in that way. So I do get that. Mm-hmm. But I'm really talking about when you sit back and you evaluate yourself and realize that maybe you handled something in a way that could have been different. And because of that, now maybe you can forge a new kind of relationship right. with the person understanding yourself fully and now just knowing how to operate with them. I know that this is not a person that maybe I tell my secrets to. Maybe this is not a person that, you know, I expose my more private thing, you know, relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But maybe we can have meet for happy hour and have a drink, catch up every once in a while and be cool and not have that thing, that elephant that is constantly riding us every time we encounter each other. Right. And so in saying that, like, I feel like I did a big thing, you know, this weekend in trying to reconcile a relationship that had been strained for a very long time. And it doesn't change the fact that I have feelings towards what I've experienced. But I also, going back to what we had talked about expectations, like, I expect people to be who they are, but then I don't have expectations around how they are going to operate with me. I just know that if you act like that, and I don't fuck with that, I ain't fucking with that. Yeah. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So once I see something that I don't like, doesn't make me feel good, I know to remove myself from that, or I'm calling it. Yeah. Like, I'm calling it off bucks so we can address it. And at that point, if we cannot come to terms with what's happening and meet somewhere in the middle, then I have to decide then how I move forward with you, with you in that moment.
Yeah.
Mom, but I think, I mean, I think that a lot of relationships over time get sacrificed because we don't know how to resolve conflict.
Yeah,
we don't want to talk about what happened. We don't want to, you know, like, really, we don't even want to deal with ourselves about how we may or may have not contributed to how we got here in the first place.
So
I think that was really me still. Like, I feel like healing is a thing that you're constantly doing. I don't think any of us are healed. I think we are constantly healing, and a part of me constantly healing myself is going back and revisiting tough things, having tough conversations. You know, I was just proud of myself for being like, you know what? I think we could do this. I think it could be a thing. I really want to put this thing behind me and not make it something. I just know now not to put myself in a situation where a person could do that to me again, because what we were talking about last week, we experience what we allow. You know what I'm saying? A person really only gets to do something to you one time, and you get to decide there, is this okay? Is this not okay? At the moment where you've decided this is not okay, you can say, you know, this is how this made me feel. You know what I mean? I didn't like that or whatever it is, and had that conversation. And I feel like if you, going back to what you said, if you're dealing with someone that really cares about you and loves you, that opens up an opportunity to really have an adult conversation and allow some healing to take place around
But you can't let a lot of time go by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's one of the things that kind of happened in this scenario. I think that so much time kind of passed that, unfortunately, with that, it's almost a domino effect. Everything that happens after that now becomes a thing too, because it's building on that one thing. But had we just resolved the first thing, then those things wouldn't have even looked like that, maybe. Or maybe I would have put that person in a position where they understood how to handle me. You know what I'm saying? And so I have taught them how to treat me, and now they can treat me better. But I wasn't even treating myself in a way that I could hold them to, because it wasn't a standard I was even holding myself to. I'm bailing on my own power and my own self-love by even, like, for me in this situation particularly, by me even stepping away from that and not owning it. I'm walking around with bitterness and resentment and all these things in my heart that's becoming a weight to me. All the while, this person walking around like, girl, I'm good with you. I ain't got no problem with you, girl. And probably would do the shit to me again just because they still don't understand what they did, because we never talked about what they did. You know what I'm saying? So just in thinking about that, I just feel like now I wanna face more things head on, to try to maintain and sustain relationships that are important to me, versus letting them go, you know, to the wayside, and letting them become things that I no longer give a fuck about because I didn't let so much time go. That now it's nothing. Now, like I said, now I done turned, you know, a little sand hill into a mountain. Yeah. Because I didn't just, I've let someone continuously deposit more negativity into that scenario without addressing it and deal with it. Yeah. You got something on that?
I just want to,
Yeah. That's deep. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I know she's talking to you, No, you just helped me, because, you know, I just be being silly when I be talking crazy. Like, I don't want records having nobody, you know.
You don't.
But
for real.
But I do think that when you let time go by and you don't have those conversations early on, it just becomes more than it should be. I mean, I just think that maybe time will allow, you know, me to talk to people that I haven't talked to in a while, so that, you know,
maybe you could do that,
like true reconciliation, you know, can take place. Because as a person that doesn't like conflict, I think that has been an easy way for me to be like, I don't want to reconcile because I don't like conflict.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even want to have a conversation.
I don't want to be around stuff that makes me feel uncomfortable when I'm like, I ain't even do nothing in my mind. You know what I mean? So I think that...
But it's interesting that once you sit down with people, though, and talk,
you get to
the things
hear.
That you find out, vantage points are important.
Are important. Perspective.
And if perception is reality, if another person... is thinking you wrong them.
Right.
Whole time, both people are thinking that they were wrong.
Right.
No one's talking. Right. And so no one really gets to have that awareness of their own self.
Yeah.
About how they may have approached the situation or something they said or something they did. So maybe it could have been a lesson learned for you too, just in having the conversation.
Right. Right.
Which you got something?
No, I was just saying something, you know, we got to do the uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
You know, in life, you know, we have to do the uncomfortable to really free ourselves.
Because,
you know, while, you know, you say, I don't want to reconcile, you know, and you
feel like, God, don't do me like that.
I don't want to reconcile.
I just said, you feel like.
Yeah, but I was just saying me.
And we want you to be that.
And because it's taking on the responsibility and now you got to actually deal with
it. It's okay.
No, it's not.
It is.
Because, I've been there myself. Uh-oh. Like, there's people I just don't deal with. I don't really deal with at all. You know what I mean? Because I, you know, one, that going back and try to even talk about whatever, just bring about emotions and stuff, that's like, I ain't even going there. I don't want to do that. I understand. But I just think, you know, sometimes we may decide that because it's just difficult and, you know, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but even the things easier said than done still need to be done. I say that all
the
time.
And that's what I'm getting to. But ultimately, it's a freeing, even, you know, for yourself to have those uncomfortable conversations and situations, because you may not even realize the negativity or whatever little thing you got
that you carry.
Yeah, but what if you're not carrying anything?
In that case, it doesn't matter, does it?
And if it's somebody, some energy that really you really don't need to deal with, you really don't need to address. And I'm not gonna say some folks you just got to just let go.
And you should.
And you don't need to talk about it.
And it's two way. Like, they've let me go too. So, like, that's why I feel like.
And if, I mean,
feelings mutual.
If that's the overstanding, then
it is what it is.
It is what it is, and you let that energy go, and you know.
But so see, in this particular instance, I'm sitting here in a place, first and foremost, because of what I've been through, I already have my head made up about what every encounter is going to look like, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm already gearing myself up for that experience, only to get into this experience and not experience it. Right. You know what I'm saying? So then that raises my eyebrow, right? Mm-hmm. And so I start, now I am watching and looking for things, but they're really not there. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to say, damn, well, you know, that motherfucker was acting good today. And then I think to myself, have I created some of these scenarios myself somehow? Because I have not dealt with this thing. And so, again, instead of addressing it, knocking it out and being done with it, letting it go on. I'm avoiding it. I'm avoiding the conflict. But mm-hmm. by me doing that, I'm also losing opportunities to connect just right. in general.
Right.
Because if I had this good experience that was cool, yeah. and we laughed and we mm-hmm. joked and it reminded mm-hmm. me of who we were,
yeah.
could we have been doing
still
this
doing that
thing
right.
yeah.
that we used to do
yeah.
if we had just dealt with what needed to be dealt with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And sometimes, for me, like in this particular instance, I don't even want to discuss it. One of the things that I'm finding is that I get to just decide. Everything I do is a decision. I am deciding that I'm going to move forward with you in a way where we can be cordial, we can laugh, we can joke, we can hang out. I am going to demand that my boundaries are respected. So mm-hmm. this is never going to happen to me again. Mm-hmm. I have taken control over that. And now you got to decide whether or not you want to fuck with me that. Because this is how I'm carrying it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of losing out. Because those, yes, people do shit mm-hmm. to you and that shit becomes repetitive. Mm-hmm. But that shit ain't all the time.
Yeah.
And it's
right,
not
right.
every day. Mm-hmm. So if you only do that in a particular situation, maybe that's the situation I shouldn't be in with mm-hmm. you. You know, you got your girlfriend that you can go shop with. You got your girlfriend that you can tell your secrets to, the mm-hmm. one that you can talk to about relationships. So you got to compartmentalize and put people where they belong. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm learning to do. But now on the flip side of that, in thinking about scenarios where, you know, I have been the culprit and mm-hmm. what that looked like for reconciliation, going back to what you said, it's really about, and it's really either way, just about the honesty around how you got there and understanding that reconciliation doesn't mean that people don't still have their feelings mm-hmm. towards it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that, you know, anybody's left off the hook and that everything goes back to the way that it was.
Right.
Or even that it could be like flourishing moving forward. It could just be one of those things where you've addressed it and dealt with it,
that's right.
and that's it, and you're still closing the door there. You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
Or it could be that you talk about it, and then it's an uphill battle of trying to restore and repair because of the damage and the
right.
hurt. And that's the part that's hard, because you got to own that as an individual. You know, a lot of times we go to people, we tell them that we're sorry for something, and we want our sorry to be the end-all, be-all, and that should just change, you know, the whole narrative around how
yeah.
we interact. But sometimes we say sorry, and there's still more work to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And just kind of owning that mm-hmm. and understanding that part, that reconciliation is not an easy thing. But it is necessary, and I think that comes back to what we were talking about resurrecting the self. Like, by me even going through these couple scenarios over the course of this weekend, I feel like it really took a load off of me. Like, I'm not even thinking about some of the things I used to think about
right.
around these people, because I have absolved that
right.
and I've decided to move forward. So mm-hmm. ultimately, either of the two, we talked about it. The resurrection part, it was a decision. The tomb mm-hmm. could have rolled away and your mans could have sat in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not gone a place. You know? But he made a decision to follow
yeah.
the charge.
About to say, holding
you know?
On to that, holding on
yeah.
to that energy or the negative or
mm-hmm.
the, whatever the feelings were.
It could have been my back hurt too bad. The holes in my hand are hurting. You know,
yeah.
the lashes on my back, it was too much. Like, I'm still tired. I took a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying that cross, it was so heavy that I don't want to get up. You know what? Better yet, I don't even want to
right.
have the responsibility
that's
for the
it.
People that I've been sent to save, because these people did me like this, or these people did me like that, or they're not going to change. They're going to
mm-hmm.
be who they always been.
Right.
But you got to accept
mm-hmm.
the charge, like
that's
you
like,
said, and the responsibility.
Accept the assignment.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
and the assignment, and make decisions, you know, around your life and what you want to do with your life so that you can ascend. You know what
that's
I'm saying?
It.
We could have,
yeah.
he could have stayed in the tomb. We could stay in the tombs. Our viewers could stay in the tombs, but we got to decide
free yourself.
That we would do something different instead.
That's right.
And free ourselves through resurrection and reconciliation. Huh? What say you, E-Day?
I'm here for it.
Here for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I started off saying I don't want to. Y'all. It's okay. I know I said that.
I know it was me, but what I meant was.
But once you unpack things, uh-huh. and once you sit under, when you listen,
yeah.
you can get what you need. So, thank you.
You take the meat and leave the bones.
Right.
What's for you is for you. Mm-hmm. And if that was for you, okay. And yeah. if it wasn't for you, okay. And here's yeah. the thing, again, you do not have to reconcile with, sometimes reconciling isn't even about doing it with the person.
Well,
you can
right.
be reconciling with yourself around what the happened situation. So you know how to move forward with mm-hmm. other people, not yeah. even that mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. yeah. That's why I was going to ask, like, what does, like, when I say reconciliation looks different mm-hmm. yeah. for different
yeah.
things, I do feel like a couple of some friendships that have gone awry or whatever, I feel like there has been reconciliation mm-hmm. individually.
Right.
On we, and like you were saying, repairing, I feel like the repairing was personal.
Right.
And then when you come into contact with that person, because
you know
you, you've repaired,
you know
how mm-hmm. you have, right, you know how to act. So I feel like, you know, it looks different.
Yeah, and you like, know what? To say what different. You just said, it also what it allows you to do is to honor the good part about what that relationship
yeah,
was.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're not in a situation where you've been able to reconcile that, mm-hmm. then you've let the negative thing suck all the life That's out right. of every good experience you had. Mm-hmm. Once you've reconciled mm-hmm. like that, you can see a person face-to-face, speak,
yes.
hey, how you doing? Yes. You know, maybe exchange a few words. And walk away with a good feeling around
yeah.
it. And what that is attached to is all the positive things that have happened
right.
before today.
Right.
Not that one exactly. thing that kept you all from staying in contact in the
right.
first place.
Right.
So I think that's important. So
yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. No, just say that's exactly it. And I was about to say, it's just, I keep saying a freeing of oneself from the burden of that energy.
Yeah.
I just think it's energy we hold on to when we don't deal with clearing the air or reconciling with self
right.
or with other people. We're just carrying a burden. It's a weight. It's a heavy load. And it's like, just let that thing go. Whether or not, you know, you got to face the person and try to see other, you know, see their perspective from their frame of reference. Or you're just dealing with self, like you said, and just on the situation itself, and you decide, you make a decision. These are my boundaries. I'm releasing this thing. It has no hold on me. I have no malice. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm not holding on to the energy no more. And
yeah.
you take yourself high.
Yeah, but that's the
and
the
it's a responsibility. It's a decision, right. And it comes, like I said,
instead of letting other people decide for you.
Right. And mm-hmm. when you decide for yourself, you take that responsibility. I am going to, you know, move on. I'm going to have a positive day, positive life. I'm not going to let this thing hold me, you know, in this dead space, dead place, you know.
Right.
That's not my...
You walking out the tomb.
Yeah, I'm walking out the tomb. That's not my end story. You
right.
know, my journey goes on.
Yeah.
You know, so...
My journey goes on and I fulfill the assignment.
Facts.
My journey goes on and I fulfill the assignment.
That's it?
That's it. All right, well, let's run our affirmation back. For the viewers to close out the show. E-Day.
Wow, it always seems like it goes by so fast. I feel like I just sat down.
What time is it? Is that clock right?
6:17.
Oh yeah. Ma'am.
I feel like I
guess that's what happens when you're having good conversations. That's what cousins do.
Yeah.
That's what us cousins do.
Communion.
We come.
I'm like
union.
Yeah. I'm like, I just sat here.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting up.
No.
Resurrecting.
Oh.
Rising.
We rose. With the rosé.
Hey, it's all good.
Oh, we will pour more.
I love y'all.
And I learned so much from y'all. This whole thing. It's really good.
It's really good.
It's good for me.
This 1 hour every Sunday really makes a difference. And it's really for us.
I know.
I mean, while other people get something out of it, but that's the overflow.
Yeah. Because I'd be like, ooh, I did say that. Oh, I didn't mean that.
And then we overflowing.
It's a process of my resurrection.
Process
this
of
whole
the resurrection.
Thing. Yes.
Yeah, I'd be like, ooh, I did say that on live. Oh, God.
They saw me and
they
heard me.
They saw me and they heard me. I don't want to reconcile.
Can we roll that back?
I did say
that.
Sorry.
Don't be.
Not, I didn't mean no, to say that.
Don't be.
We have to walk in our truth.
We're supposed to show some, who we are.
Like says, some energies, you got to just I know, let but, that thing.
I know. I'm just being reflective like I am. Yes. I'm just being me. I'm thinking,
and
man,
that's what
I should.
This,
right.
That's what this show is about. This is us opening ourselves up
ooh,
to other
girl,
people.
Girl, I am myself 100%
really,
on this show, but
hearing,
then I'd be
we're
like,
we're hearing
ooh.
Ourselves first. You know what I mean? So that's
I know,
what
I know,
supposed
I know.
To do. So
I know.
I think that's great.
I know.
Yeah, don't apologize for that. That's,
I know. I'm just playing again.
It's real. We keep it
always
real.
Playing.
I'm always playing.
All right, what's our affirmation?
I'm just playing.
Back for the people.
Okay. I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here. I am whole.
I'm here and I'm whole. All right, well, I hope you guys take that affirmation with you this week. Even if you don't remember all the rest, remember that you are here and confess that you are whole. Until next Sunday at 5 p.m., y'all have y'all a good week, and we will see y'all then.
Peace.
Deuces.
Go and reconcile with the people.
Go reconcile with the people. With the folk.
Have mercy.
I don't want to.